Welcome to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. This year is 6 weeks shorter than last year. Now, not the calendar, of course, but for people getting their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. This year's open enrollment period to sign up for the coverage is 6 weeks long, and it's already underway. It ends December 15th. Last year, people had 3 months to buy the health insurance. So how will this affect enrollment? Well, only time will tell, but nationwide, the pace of enrollments appears to be slowing a little bit. A third of the way through signups last year, more than 2 million people had chosen a healthcare plan at healthcare.gov. A third of the way through this year's signup period, 1.5 million people have. While this year's pace is slower, remember that this year is also a much shorter enrollment period. And traditionally, most people wait until the final week or so to actually sign up anyway. Now, in Florida, almost 1.5 million people get their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, or at least they did last year. It is the most of any of the states using healthcare.gov for insurance plans. That is double the number of Floridians who signed up during the first year of Obamacare. But the fine for not having insurance that first year, it was only $95 or 1% of your income. That fine has grown considerably. This year, it's up to $695 or 2.5% of your income if you have to have health insurance but don't buy it. ACA enrollment in Florida has been steady at around 1.4 million people a year since the second year of the program. And most of those have signed up for a health insurance plan from Florida Blue. It has the largest market share of health insurance in the state, including Obamacare health insurance plans. John Urbanek is the Senior Vice President for Health Insurance Markets at Florida Blue.
Well, so far the experience has been good this year. You know, each year has its own dynamic to it. And while this year started a little slower than we thought the first 2 days, volumes picked up pretty quickly. And over the past several days, we're actually ahead of what we anticipated to see. And, you know, we really tried to get into each market and let them know that they've got some affordable options out there in the marketplace to take a look at this year. And the activities would indicate that that message is getting through. So far, we're pretty pleased.
How does it compare to the past few years of signups, not against your plan, but against what you actually saw over the last few years at this point in kind of mid to late November?
You know, it's really unfair to make that comparison. And the reason for that is because each year had its own different dynamic. So when you think about year one, when there were some issues with the technology, and that was an elongated open enrollment period that actually got extended twice, each year had its own piece. And this year is very different because it's a 45-day enrollment cycle, very compressed compared to other years. So it's hard to compare. But what I will tell you is we've got last year at its peak, we had 1 million members on the exchange. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of transactions to do. And so thus far, as we look at how we're tracking versus those transactions, we're doing pretty well. And as I just see stories nationally, that seems to be the flavor of how the ACA enrollment's going nationally as well.
What do you mean by a transaction? Is that somebody who signs up for a plan but has yet to pay a premium?
No, actually a transaction would be someone who is either buying new or renewing. So if you think about it, we, again, last year had at our peak 1 million people. Now that happens at enrollment and that dwindles down a bit as the year goes on. Mm-hmm. But as you move into the next year, those people have to go through a renewal. So that's a transaction or someone who either didn't have coverage or is with another carrier. That would be a new one for us. So we just are counting all those as enrollment transactions.
Gotcha. So with that compressed sign-up period this year, has that changed Florida Blue's expectation of the number of customers you'll wind up serving when the enrollment period ends?
The time frame really didn't change what we thought the numbers would be. You know, the concern out there has just been that there are so many different messages in the marketplace and so much confusion that we really focused our time on being there and answering questions, holding town hall meetings, and make sure that people understood that there are still affordable options out there. And again, from what we can tell, that message is getting across.
And what about the types of plans customers are choosing this year? What's that compared to the past few years of experience?
Well, and it's a little new to get really into that piece of it. But what I will tell you is, remember when the ACA was designed, the silver level plans were the ones that the subsidies were based on. Mm-hmm. And so that's really been where almost 90% of the membership has been. We expected that to maybe change a bit this year. So far, we haven't seen it change very much. The plans are predominantly silver that are being chosen. We are seeing people off the exchange look at different levels because since they're not subsidized, they have some perhaps different decisions to make. And frankly, we've put some new options out there for them off the exchange to choose from. So that's a bit of where you might see a change. But again, that's the minority of the membership. Most people are in that subsidized silver plan. Yep. And we're still seeing a high level of activity there. But again, the way that enrollment works, generally you'll see a high level of activity in the first week or so. Then it slows down a bit. And then at the end, it picks up quite a bit. It's not the exact same curve every year, but we would anticipate it to look similar to that, even in this compressed time frame.
And so even as we're a few weeks into it, we're beyond the first few days, but you're still thinking that that kind of activity is going to hold true this cycle?
Yes, that's what we're expecting to see. And we're going to continue. We have activities in the marketplace spaced out on a daily basis so that we continue to make sure that we're there for people who have questions and they can get them answered. And so we would expect that with this compressed time frame, you may see that same type of a curve, but it would be compressed as well.
Right. What are the final numbers that you've ballparked for Florida Blue's Affordable Care Act plans in 2018?
So we would anticipate to be pretty close to that million members on the marketplace number. And remember, after that, you're not going to grow throughout the year. The only thing you will do is see people leave the plan because they get a job or they move or other reasons for that. So our high water mark is, again, around that million member mark.
It's in early January when the new calendar year and the new coverage year begins. Yeah.
Yes.
Let me ask you about the resources that Florida Blue has had to call upon in order to get in the places that you talk about, the town halls, the storefronts, but even the messaging that you have to do. A lot of that messaging over the past few years had been kind of underwritten by the federal government. The federal government had, quite frankly, an advertising budget for the Affordable Care Act. The Trump administration came in and slashed that considerably. So has Florida Blue then gone back and pulled money out of its marketing pot to direct toward the ACA that it hadn't had to in years past?
Well, you know, when we approached the ACA back in 2014, we know this was going to be a very different approach to the marketplace because generally you were looking at broad advertising, working with employers and all that. This was going to be a new situation where millions of people who never had health insurance before, some people who didn't even know what health insurance was, would be coming into the market. So we, even at that time, didn't feel that even with the work the government was doing, which was great, we thought that should supplement what we did as opposed to the other way around. So that's why we really changed from a broad marketing approach to more of a grassroots approach. And each year since then, and every year we look at what we need to do and how we get into the marketplace. So, you know, we have 18 retail centers of our own throughout the state. Those are heavily accessed and heavily used during open enrollment. We have throughout the state captive agents that work with us. Mm-hmm. And basically what we do is each year we develop a plan and we say, how are we going to cover the state? What are the important events that we know we can connect with consumers with? And how do we work with that? A lot of the things that the federal government did, again, very helpful, but they were carrier agnostic. And they were all about, you know, the healthcare.gov and all those pieces. We felt that we needed to connect and build trust and really let people know what health insurance was, why you need it, all those things that help build trust and really help people get into the marketplace and stay there.
Has Florida Blue, though, had to add to that messaging because that more agnostic, as you call it, messaging from the federal government isn't there in any sizable way under the Trump administration like it was under President Obama?
I would say that we haven't had to add to the messaging. We did make sure this year that we were constant in our messaging. And we did have that compressed time frame to work with that. So a little bit different than having to deal with this over several months.
What about any financial commitment, any financial investment that you have had to change because of the different approach and the lack of the approach in terms of marketing that has come from the federal government?
Yeah, we have been, because again, Florida is our only market, mm-hmm. and we've been in all 67 counties, we have made a concerted effort each year, and we've made a significant investment each year to make sure that that message is there. And so we really haven't changed much this year. And again, that could be a function of a shorter enrollment period, so less time for this to happen. But we really haven't seen that financial change this year.
That's the head of Florida Blue's health insurance markets business, John Urbanek. While he says Florida Blue has not changed its financial commitment to marketing its Obamacare plans, it has raised its premiums along with the rest of the market. So still to come, the higher cost and higher uncertainty about health care insurance costs.
Florida is one of the most diverse markets in the nation because we do have such a mixture of rural markets, metropolitan markets, culturally diverse markets. There are all sorts of pieces that you could look at and say, gosh, that looks different from area to area. But the main driver for this is medical costs.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening to WLRN. It comes as no surprise that the cost of health insurance continues rising. For insurance plans on healthcare.gov, the average premium is up 38% for coverage from Florida Blue under the Affordable Care Act. But very few patients will see their monthly premiums go up by that much, or at all, really. That's because there are two separate subsidies that bring down the cost to the patient and help pay the insurance companies for the cost of the risk that they're taking. One subsidy is called the Advanced Premium Tax Credit. Now, that's the tax credit enrollees can see if they qualify for when they shop for Obamacare health insurance plans. More than 9 out of 10 Floridians who buy Affordable Care Act insurance plans qualify for that tax subsidy. It immediately lowers the monthly premium cost for the patient. Now, the second subsidy is called the Cost Sharing Reduction. For patients qualifying for this subsidy, this is a payment from the federal government to insurance companies bringing down a patient's out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles, but you have to buy a silver health care plan in order to qualify. Oh yeah, ACA plans are delineated by medallion levels, bronze, silver, gold, platinum. Coverage and expenses rise with the more precious metals. Now, the cost-sharing reduction subsidy, that's the one that President Trump stopped paying insurance companies last month. As this open enrollment season approached, the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation told health insurers here in Florida to assume the cost reduction payments won't be coming when proposing 2018 premiums. That led to a big increase in Obamacare premiums. But most Floridians getting their health insurance through the Affordable Care Act, again, won't experience that kind of price hike, if at all. Back to our conversation now with John Urbanek, Senior Vice President for Health Insurance Markets at Florida Blue.
The average pre-subsidy premium is up 38% to $725. That's kind of the headline number that came from the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation. How does that look like at Florida Blue? And what are the components that contribute to that 38% gross premium increase?
Yeah, and so first it's important to realize that and I know we'll talk more and answer certainly questions about the cost share reduction subsidy, but what happened in Florida was the Office of Insurance Regulation or the Department of Insurance asked all carriers to look at the absence of the cost share reduction subsidy and to make sure that the plans that were using that were priced to basically represent a plan that doesn't have that subsidy any longer. So that's where the 38%, that's where a good bit of that 38% came from, close to 30% of it. And all carriers did that in Florida. So that
carriers were mandated by the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation to say, price your plans as if you will not be getting any cost-sharing reduction payments from the federal government, which is what the Trump administration is trying to do.
Yes. Yeah. And keep in mind that if we didn't do that and the subsidies didn't come, there would be a pretty significant impact to companies here. And so pricing it there really adds to the stability of the program, gives us the opportunity to say these benefits are going to be here.
By the impact
but
on companies, really, you mean the impact on the insurance carriers like Florida Blue?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so essentially that particular impact, though, was to the silver plans that use that cost share reduction. So when you see the average increase, remember that a lot of people were in those silver plans and that those plans saw that change. And so it's not as though every single plan that's being offered has a 38% increase. The increase is different by plan, but the majority of those high increases happened to those silver plans that had the cost share reduction component to them.
And so without the cost share reduction, this was a payment that the consumer never experienced. This was a payment from the federal government to Florida Blue in this case. This is different from the tax subsidy that the patient may qualify for, and most of those who get the Affordable Care Act plans in Florida do qualify for the tax subsidy. How important is that cost-sharing reduction payment to Florida Blue in order to provide the kinds of coverage that it does on the exchange?
Well, this year it was very important. And just for example, that it was priced out to be a 30% rate increase component. So you can see from a financial standpoint that that represents a large piece of benefits that we were paying out on.
So are we closer to the true cost of the Affordable Care Act premium without that cost sharing reduction baked into the premium?
For that plan. Now, remember that those plans have a very high level of benefit. And so if you think about plans that people were buying in the marketplace, these plans are richer than that. But plans traditionally weren't really geared towards the needs of the low-income individuals that the ACA plans were. So, yes, these plans now show the true cost of what those benefits would be if priced in the marketplace. But traditionally, that's not the level of benefits that the general public was buying before the ACA.
They're still before the ACA, but they're still silver plans compared across the years, the 4 years now of the ACA, though.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Because the ACA has the 10 required coverage categories, for instance, whereas plans prior to the ACA in the individual market did not necessarily have a minimum level of coverage that was mandated that the plans had to have. It was really based upon marketplace and demand and what insurance companies wound up offering.
Right. The essential benefits did you have to cover these certain items and you had to cover them at a certain level, both of which were different than previous plans.
So in the 38% gross premium, average premium increase, 30% is because of that elimination of the cost-sharing reduction payment from the federal government to Florida Blue and other insurance companies providing the ACA coverage here in Florida. 8% then, John, is that what we can kind of see as the cost increase, the healthcare cost increase portion of this, the delivery cost increase?
Generally, on average, that's correct. And when you think about where that 8% would come from, there's a component we call medical trend. And what medical trend really addresses is differences in healthcare cost year over year, differences in healthcare utilization year over year, and then things in the environment, such as additional mandates, such as environmental factors, new technology. All those pieces are what add up to year over year inflation on healthcare costs. And so it is that 8% is roughly average to what we're seeing here in Florida.
Let me ask you about location and difference in premiums for geographies in Florida. Florida obviously is a very diverse state, rural areas, suburban areas, lots of urban areas, lots of income disparity and lots of healthcare usage differences, I imagine. The total premium, so when you back out all the different subsidies, the total gross premium, roughly about the same in South Florida, in Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County at about $1,700, but almost twice that in Monroe County, where Florida Blue is the sole provider of the Affordable Care Act plans. Why that price differential? What makes up that differential that we see here in South Florida, but also elsewhere in the state?
Yeah. And Florida is one of the most diverse markets in the nation because we do have such a mixture of rural markets, metropolitan markets, culturally diverse markets. There are all sorts of pieces that you could look at and say, gosh, that looks different from area to area. But the main driver for this is medical costs. And so when you really look at each area, we've got metropolitan areas where there is some competition, lots of providers, lots of hospitals, and you see there the pricing may be different. You have some areas such as South Florida where, yes, it's a metropolitan area, but they have some facilities that are doing some more complex work, more complicated healthcare, and so that costs more. And so that drives into the equation. You know, conversely, in the panhandle, rural areas, you've got some smaller areas and lower medical costs there, just lower costs of living as a whole. And so each one of these markets is really first representative of, is it a rural or metro market? But the second piece you have to look at is the healthcare environment and what types of healthcare is being performed there. And so those really make up the different pieces of what goes into the cost.
So does utilization play a role in that pricing mechanism?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, again, if you have an area where you're performing more of the complex procedures, more complex medical care, and people are having to go to that area, you'd see a utilization difference there.
Is there a mechanism, John, to capture medical tourism, though? If you've got, for instance, a big cancer center or a big mm-hmm. cardiac center, it's going to draw in patients, obviously, from all over who may not live in that geographic area that has been used to help determine premium pricing.
Yeah, well, keep in mind that when we are developing premium pricing, ours is a projection of what we're going to pay. And so as we work with doctors and hospitals and foreign provider networks, we're reaching agreement on cost and essentially how we're going to manage the care. And so that is going into the projections that drive our premiums. So medical tourism is a help because for that particular facility, that gives them some scale, gives them some expertise, and it can drive their costs down. And consequently, their cost to us can be positively impacted by that. But it is going to be a function of the agreement that we have in place sure. with that healthcare provider.
And just so I'm clear on that, John, so in this case, the idea of traveling, you know, a few hundred miles or whatever it may be for a specialized medical procedure, that utilization, you're saying, in fact, can reduce the cost of goods at a high-priced facility, and that can get translated into better pricing for the local patient?
So I would look at it in two ways. So there's a sort of a an import or an export. To the extent that we have individuals who would go to other areas, medical tourism-wise, and achieve lower healthcare costs, that's obviously going to benefit the plan. It has a positive impact on premium.
Sure.
But those facilities that are experts in certain complex medical cases, they develop an expertise, they develop some scale, they're more efficient, they can do those on a less costly basis. To the extent that there's less costly procedures going on, to the extent that their costs are lower, we're able to work with them to get lower pricing on the hospital costs overall. And so there's an efficiency gain there. It's not huge, but there's certainly an efficiency gain that we can see from that.
Florida Blue is the only insurer in Florida that's offering Affordable Care Act plans in all 67 counties. And it's a smaller marketplace this year, not in terms of patients, but in terms of competitors. United Health, Humana, and Aetna all pulled out. How has that impacted the volume of enrollees, as well as the pricing plans that the Florida Blue has put into the marketplace?
Well, the volume of enrollees last year had a significant impact. We did see a pretty significant spike in enrollment, actually over 100,000 growth as a result of carriers leaving the market. This year, we expect, again, our numbers to be fairly stable with where they were last year. From a pricing standpoint, you know, we do have to understand each year what the market is going to look like and make projections around the people that we'll be covering and the costs associated with that risk and that population. And so, you know, as we looked at our pricing this year, the fact that there were less competitors, the fact that, you know, we were looking at possible changes in the market in some areas and in some areas stable, those were factored into our pricing. You know, the one thing I would say is that, you know, last year we were the only carrier, the only choice in 47 out of the 67 counties. This year we'll be the only choice in 42 out of the 67 counties. So as we look at these pieces, each year the market changes a little bit. And we are going to have to consider that in our pricing.
So you've got maybe some new competition for the 2018 plan year in five counties that you didn't last year. How is it?
Yes.
How has it changed the number of plans that Florida Blue is offering? We've seen that reduce year over year as Florida Blue has gained more expertise in the kinds of plans that are out there, and frankly, the plans that that are financially supportive.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, in the first few years of the ACA, we were really getting to learn the market and trying to understand where people were in terms of needs and how the choices they would make to address their needs. And so there were more plans out there because we just really didn't have a good feel for what people were looking for, what, you know, specific benefits were going to resonate with them. Now that we've got a few years behind us, we can really see what plans people are choosing. We can get a better feel for why they're looking for what they look for. And it's helped us really compress this down. I mean, it's good to have choice, but at the same time, too much choice creates confusion. And in insurance plans, you really want to get to the point where you have a good, solid, stable risk pool. And having the right number of plans is really optimal for us. So we've keep trying to get to that right number. But again, that's driven by member choice, really helping us configure the right set of plans to put out there in the marketplace.
John Urbanek leads the health insurance markets business at Florida Blue. Still to come, we'll continue our conversation talking about making a business out of Obamacare.
Florida's our only market. We have a mission that says we want to help people and communities achieve better health. So we said, you know what, this is going to be a significant market for us. We cannot go into this just thinking we'll survive. We have to find a way to thrive.
This is the Sunshine Economy, health insurance markets and money. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. The clock is ticking now on a major economic decision, a decision that plays a role in an ever-increasing slice of the American economy, healthcare. This is the traditional time of year workers who get their health insurance through their job learn how much it will cost and what, if any, changes will be made to their plan next year. It's also open enrollment season if you get your health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. This year, Obamacare patients have just 6 weeks to sign up, half the time compared to years past. This year, just six health insurance companies are selling Obamacare plans in Florida. Two of them are units of Florida Blue. This insurance company has made a business out of the Affordable Care Act, a business that does not lose money. In the first year of Obamacare, 10 companies sold individual insurance plans in Florida through the Affordable Care Act. Big national companies like Aetna, Cigna, and Humana have all gotten out of the individual Obamacare market here in Florida. Florida Blue, meantime, remains the only health insurer to sell Affordable Care Act plans in all 67 counties. It has two subsidiaries selling plans, one selling preferred provider network health plans and one selling health maintenance organization plans. Those plans in 2015 together brought in more in premiums than they paid out in health claims. In other words, they made money. They were profitable. Back to our conversation now with John Urbanek, Senior Vice President for Health Insurance Markets at Florida Blue.
How would you describe the business of the Affordable Care Act plans that Florida Blue has? In other words, is it a good business? Is it a sustainable business?
You know, when we went into the Affordable Care Act, one of the things that we talked about was Florida's our only market. We have a mission that says we want to help people and communities achieve better health. So we said, you know what, this is going to be a significant market for us. We cannot go into this just thinking we'll survive. We have to find a way to thrive. And so each year, that has been our mandate to ourselves. We've said, how do we go to the Florida market and for the individuals and put forth something that they're going to want, that's going to work for them? And how do we do this for the long term? And it's actually worked out very well for us. You know, again, the presence that we have in the communities in Florida has really helped us build a trust with this population. And it's worked well for us. It's something that we really want to continue. And it's something that each year we commit ourselves to finding a way to make that work. And it's not something that you can turn your back on. You have to look at it year over year and come up with, you know, those tweaks or those things that will make this work. But we're committed to do that.
Committed to do that. And there had been reports from Axios, an online news platform, talking about some of the profits that Florida Blue has seen for the Affordable Care Act plans sold on and off exchanges. Profits running from about $500 million in 2015 for the ACA plans on exchange, and then including the on and off exchange in 2016, a $1.1 billion gross profit. Doesn't include the expenses of Florida Blue for employees like yourself and employee salaries, but does include the cost of medical care. Are those accurate numbers, John?
Well, I think that as people are looking at numbers, they're probably looking at gross numbers, not looking at admin costs, not looking at other components of it. And
that's correct.
You know, yeah, it does get into a difficult calculation to begin to say, where are those? You know, I will say that, you know, this has been a good business for us, but it's hard for me to even come through with the calculations of exactly where we sit year over year with this.
So a good business. The CFO at Florida Blue told Axios the individual market net profit margin, he estimated, was in the high single digits. Does that sound about right to you?
That's about right.
And how's that compare to other health insurance markets that Florida Blue is involved in here in Florida?
It's really running about the same for our commercial markets. Medicare is running a bit less than that at this point, but the commercial markets, it's pretty consistent with what we find on our group business. You know, and health insurance in general is a lower market business. Most companies would look at something in the single digits and say, you know, that's not the type of business we're going to be in. But for us, health insurance, that's it. We have to run at a pretty slim margin, and that's why we have to, you know, work hard to make that work. And the difference with a Blues plan, for example, here in Florida, this is all we have. And so we can't fall back on other states or all those pieces. And so, you know, that's why we are committed to each market and have to make them work, because we really don't have any other alternatives to fall back on.
With that concentration in Florida, and as you've seen some of the national brands like United, Humana, and Aetna pull out of the ACA because they've said it's been unprofitable for them, unclear if they meant Florida particularly or just generally speaking, what has made the difference in Florida Blue's ability to make its ACA business work on the P&L, the profit and loss line?
Yeah, and I think that our commitment from day one, our ability to come in and cover all 67 counties and say, we're going to price this for the long term, we're going to make sure that we're making adjustments and doing the things we need to do to make this a long-term stable business, as opposed to saying, let's strategically go into areas that would work for us. I think that's what really helped us because, again, we really weren't sure of the risk pool going in. And so we didn't want to say, let's just place a bet on an area, and we wanted to cover all of Florida. So coming in, covering the state as a whole, making decisions that say we've got to make the state of Florida work is what's worked for us. And we're really the only ones that approached it that way in Florida.
John Urbanek is Senior Vice President for Health Insurance Markets at Florida Blue. Now, the company is not the low-cost provider in the Obamacare market here in the Sunshine State. In fact, its average monthly premium before any tax subsidies for its PPO plan is the highest of any of its competitors also selling health plans through the healthcare.gov exchange. It's $725 per month. Now, remember, though, that's an average premium, and it does not subtract the subsidy that most of its customers will qualify for. It's pricing, though, that Florida Blue has been able to build its profitable Obamacare business around. Still to come, the state of the health insurance market that protects most working Floridians.
Florida really had a difficult time from a small business standpoint getting out of the 2008 recession. And a lot of folks saw their health insurance go away, and now we're starting to see that build back up.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. Today, we're featuring an interview with the top health insurance markets executive at Florida Blue. The company is the largest health insurer in the state. Over half of the state's companies with more than 50 employees use Florida Blue to provide health insurance to their workers. A third of smaller companies do. That gives Florida Blue a unique perspective on the state's job market and an important role in how millions of Floridians get their health care coverage, how much it is, and what types of plans they pay for. John Urbanek is the Senior Vice President for Health Insurance Markets at Florida Blue. What can you tell us about the group market in 2018, both small group and large group, John? How's the pricing? What's the plan structure?
So the pricing in group business right now is very stable. And what we've seen are several years of very, very reasonable rate actions. Small business, for the first time in several years, we're seeing that grow. You know, Florida really had a difficult time from a small business standpoint getting out of the 2008 recession. And a lot of folks saw their health insurance go away. And now we're starting to see that build back up. So we're in our second year of seeing some pretty nice growth in small group. And we've had some favorable pricing, so that's been good for us. I will tell you that the employers for the large group are really wanting to help or have us help them find better solutions moving forward. You know, even when we can talk about medical trends in those single-digit pieces, which is lower than it's been in the past, it's still rate increases. And so they're looking to us to find creative ways to help them curb costs. And health insurance is still important to them. You know, that's something that they use to attract and retain good talent. And so they want to make this a valuable benefit. And, you know, what they don't want to do is continue to see deductibles rise and all those pieces. They want us to work with them to say, you know, how do we help work with healthcare providers and rein in medical costs? And at the same time, what they're finding now is over the past couple of years, there's been a bigger commitment to wellness. And so employers are finding that a good wellness plan, while it may not have that immediate ROI, it's getting their employees healthier and more productive. And so they've been able to see an increase that way.
The ROI, return on investment, a great finance term, John.
Yes.
let me ask you, before we dig into the plan architecture and how Florida Blue is working with those businesses in trying to adjust the plan so that it fits kind of budgets, not only personnel budgets, but also employee budgets. The drive of enrollment with those plans. I got to imagine, as the job market has continued to expand here in Florida, putting aside for a moment the types of jobs, but full-time employment, that is good for business at Florida Blue, isn't it? It means more folks are probably going to be in the insurance space for employee covered insurance.
Yes, absolutely. And we have seen that. You know, the large group market is a bit of a dynamic market because there's a lot of industry consolidation.
By the way, John, real quick, just to interrupt, Florida is not known for large employers, certainly not South Florida. A large employer in South Florida could be a couple of thousand employees. Is that considered a large group insurer for Florida Blue?
Yes.
It is. Okay.
Yes. And actually, the standard definition is small groups have 50 or lower employees and large groups have 51 plus.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And so the one thing we have seen, though, is industry consolidation and some mergers and acquisitions. And so seeing the job growth has been very helpful for us because at the same time, it's somewhat offset by larger companies who are consolidating. And we're seeing some of that business, you know, move in and out of Florida. So the productive environment really helps us make sure that we're growing as well.
Now, according to some of the regulatory paperwork at the Florida Office of Insurance Regulation, the medical trend is about 7.5% increase for an annual premium in the group market. It looks to approach about $10,000 annually in 2018. Now, some companies may split some of that with the employer and the employee, and so the total cost to the worker can be a lot different, certainly. But that's kind of that big headline number from Florida Blue. What's driving those numbers?
Yeah, well, so the trend number is accurate and again, very close to what we were discussing in terms of pure trend on the individual market. In the group plans, you know, just as you stated, from a premium perspective, the first thing that you're looking at is the type of plan that they have. And there's a lot of variation in plans on the group market.
Yeah.
And so people will look at some of the higher deductible plans paired with a health savings account, or they'll look at an HMO type plan. Many employers are looking at richer benefits to really help attract and retain those employees. And so it's really hard, again, to take all those and look at averages. But the trend number is correct. And as you stated, the employers really will dictate how they cover the premiums. And so in some cases, employers will pay a portion of the employee premium and the employee will pay their family portion. In some cases, employers pay all the single and family portions of the premium. So there's a pretty wide variation around the state on how.
But how closely does Florida Blue have its finger on the pulse of that? Because that is really down to a individual company decision about how they want to put together their own compensation packages based upon their own expectation of growth or costs in the year ahead.
Well, it's true that the employer ultimately makes that decision. But at the same time, remember, we're looking for a balanced risk pool. And even in the group market, employer decisions about premiums will really dictate who joins the plan, who has their dependents to the plan, and all those pieces. And so it's really a fine line. There are some employers that are saying, you know, if you've got dependents employee that has coverage elsewhere, let them get the coverage somewhere else. There are some employers that say, I want everybody on the plan that I can get there. But what we try and do is work with them to understand what's going to get them the most balanced risk pool so that they don't just have people who are going to use the coverage take it and all the healthy people not take it. That's obviously a premium impact. and really work through a compensation and benefits strategy that really helps them get the optimal mix. And then it's stable for the employer for the long term, and the employees appreciate it.
When we take a look at data from the Kaiser Family Foundation, which collects a lot of information around health and healthcare costs and health insurance nationwide, including in the state of Florida, when you look at some of this data regarding employer-based health insurance and the cost trends over the past several years, certainly costs have been going up, but they've been going up at a faster rate for employees than employers. So in other words, the employer portion of that premium is not going up as a percentage basis as fast as the employee side. So more costs are being pushed down to the employee side. Is that the similar experience at the Florida Blue level with Florida companies?
We have seen for a while the notion was a defined contribution type of an approach where the employer would actually offer a couple of different plans and then really fix their contribution to the employees and let the employees choose. And yeah, what you're seeing is in that circumstance, many times employees will choose a higher premium to get a higher benefit depending on their situation. But there's always the reverse of that where some employees will say, you know, I'm healthy, I'll take that lower benefit plan for the lower premiums. But that is a function of employers giving their employees more choice and employees using that choice to pick the plan that on an annual basis meets their needs.
And as usually in life, the more choices you have, usually the more you pay to have those choices. And certainly that's the case in health insurance. Have we begun to reach a limit, though, to kind of annual deductibles? We've seen them certainly move higher, $2,500, $5,000, $7,500, some plans in the market. I've seen and heard about $10,000 healthcare deductible. We're not talking about catastrophic plans, by the way. Have we started to reach a limit in that, John, do you think?
There definitely is that concern. And you know, for us, this is all about medical costs and how do we get to a different level of medical cost. And that's been a focus. And really, you know, even before the Affordable Care Act, that's something that we've had a focus on. And so as we design products moving forward, a big concern for us is the deductible level, the benefits level, and how do we get the cost down? And now we're actually, as we partner with healthcare providers across the state, you know, they're concerned about that too, because the patient responsibility is going up. And so that's a provider saying, you know, I'm getting from the insurance company, but I have to get money from the patient as well. So we're trying to find different alternatives to not have the deductibles go up and finding different levers that will address healthcare costs to bring those premiums back in line.
And can it be counterproductive when designing those kinds of plans that may have tighter doctor networks to try to keep the costs lower, but a higher deductible to also keep the premium lower? And counterproductive, what I mean by that, is a discouragement of actual utilization and wellness checks and those kinds of things.
A high deductible plan clearly discourages wellness, and in some cases, people aren't going to get the care they need when they need it. We're spending a significant amount of time working with patients and providers, identifying those screenings, those, you know, health activities that they can and should be doing to help improve their health. Positive impact on healthcare costs will have a positive impact on premiums.
John Urbanek, Senior VP for Health Insurance Markets at Florida Blue. Now, here in Florida, workers are responsible for a larger share of their annual health insurance premium as compared to nationally. Nationwide, the average worker picks up about 22% of his or her health insurance premium. In Florida, it's 25%, this according to the Kaiser Family Foundation. Still to come, the changing relationship between healthcare buyer and seller, between hospitals and doctors, and the insurance company.
We have a huge affordability issue. We've had it for years and we've talked about it. Now you're starting to feel the effects of it.
This is the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Like all insurance, health insurance is a risk transfer transaction. You pay an insurance company to accept the risk of you getting sick and needing medical attention. In turn, the insurance company negotiates what it will pay doctors and hospitals and pharmacies and others for that treatment. Now, those prices are usually kept pretty hidden from you as you choose your insurance plan. They are difficult, if not impossible, to see in the complex world of healthcare, but they play a big role in the types and cost of healthcare coverage you can buy. John Urbanek is the Senior Vice President for Health Insurance Markets at Florida Blue. He thinks the negotiating environment between health insurer and health provider is changing because the cost of coverage to the patient is just getting too expensive.
Traditionally, health plans and providers sat across the table from each other each year and argued over pricing. And what you found is that we've sort of reached the end of that line. And the real answer we see is a partnership. We feel like we can work with providers. We can jointly set targets for cost savings, for quality, and we can play a role in that. So that's what we're starting to see now is relationships where we're not anymore in an illness model where they're just looking at what's called the fee-for-service and getting paid for each activity.
Right.
We're looking more at a model that's going to say, how do I understand the health goals of a particular patient? How do I have a reimbursement situation where you're adequately rewarded for that? And you're adequately rewarded for good outcomes. And so that's a complicated deal. It's been talked about for years. But what we're finding is over the past couple of years, more and more of the providers we work with are interested in working together to do that.
What's contributed to that, do you think, John? Why has that moved from what I would call a more adversarial relationship, a buyer and a seller, arguing over price, to something that you describe as more of a partnership?
Yeah, and I think it goes back to something we talked about just a few minutes ago. You know, the fact is healthcare deductibles have gotten so high. Healthcare costs are so high that it's getting to a point to where we have a huge affordability issue. We've had it for years and we've talked about it. Now you're starting to feel the effects of it. This affordability issue is real and it's really impacting us. And what we've been doing worked for a while, but it's not working anymore. We've got to take a different approach here. And the real approach is if we can impact people's health, if we can make them achieve their goals and maintain their goals, and get treatment in the most effective setting and improve quality, it's going to improve cost, and then we're going to be in a different place.
Help us understand what you mean by improve cost. The patients may see that as lower cost. Maybe others would see it as less of an increase in cost.
So say, for example, someone with diabetes who isn't keeping up with their vision exams and other screenings. That creates a huge expense down the line. What it could have been prevented by some smaller screenings earlier on, or facility that has, you know, a high readmission rate, and, you know, helping them understand what's creating some of those pieces, what's going on with those patients, and how would we work together to change that. All those things are lower costs now that really have a big payoff moving forward. And those are the types of things that we feel like we can do working together, and those improve healthcare quality. They don't take away from healthcare quality, and overall, health insurance premiums are a function of healthcare costs. So the better impact we have, the better impact we'll have on premiums.
Florida Blue's Senior Vice President for Health Insurance Markets, John Urbanek. Pilar Uribe is our technical director. Katie Lepre is our engagement producer. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.